द महाभारत चैप्टर 105 कृष्णा पासेस अवे। कृष्णा रूल्ड द्वारका फॉर 36 इयर्स आफ्टर द कुरुक्षेत्र बैटल वाज ओवर। द वृष्णीज, द भोपास, अदर ब्रांचेस of the Yadavas belonging to Krishna's tribe spent their days in unrestrained self-indulgence and luxury. They lost all sense of discipline and humility. Once some rishis came to Dwaraka. The arrogant and irreverent Yadavas mocked these rishis with a practical joke. They dressed up one of their young men like a woman and presenting him to the revered guests said, "O ye learned men, tell us whether this lady will have a boy or a girl." The rishis saw through the irreverent joke and said, "This person will give birth to a mace, not a boy or a girl, and that mace will prove to be Yama to your tribe, destroy you all." The rishis departed after saying this. The foolish Yadavas were rather perturbed at this unpleasant ending of what they had thought was a good joke. Next day, they were in consternation to see that Sambha, the man who had been dressed up in female clothes, developed labor pains and, lo and behold, gave birth to a mace. This filled them with terror because they felt that their end was near as the rishis had cursed. They deliberated long, finally ground the mace to fine powder, which they scattered in the sea. And with this, they thought they had disposed of the danger. Nothing happened for some time. Seasons passed. The rains came, and on the beach, near where they had strewn the fine dust of the awful club, there sprang up a dense crop of rushes. When the Yadavas saw this, they were curious and amused, for they had forgotten all about the curse of the revered guests. One day, long after the Yadavas had crushed the mace into fine powder and strewn it into the sea, the Yadavas went to the beach for a picnic and spent the whole day in dance and drink and revelry. The liquor began to work, at first merry, then pugnacious. They began to talk without restraint, taking up old offenses and quarrelling on slight cause with one another. Among the Yadavas, Kritavarma had fought on the side of the Kauravas and Satyaki on that of the Pandavas. "Would any Kshatriya attack and kill sleeping soldiers? Oh, Kritavarma, you have brought a great and lasting disgrace on our tribe," said Satyaki, taunting Kritavarma. And a number of drunken Yadavas acclaimed the attack on Kritavarma. Kritavarma could not bear the insult. "Like a butcher, you slaughtered the great Burishravas when seated in yoga after his right hand was cut off. And you, you coward, dare to taunt me," he exclaimed, and a number of the revelers joined him and began to scoff at Satyaki for his barbarous deed. Soon all the Yadavas were in the quarrel on one side or the other, and presently from words they came to blows, which swiftly developed into a free fight. Satyaki, with his sword drawn, sprang upon Kritavarma and swept his head off, exclaiming, "Here is the end of the coward who's killed sleeping soldiers." Others immediately fell upon Satyaki with their drinking bowls and pots and anything they could lay their hands upon. Pradyumna, Krishna's son, joined the fray to rescue Satyaki. And there was a desperate melee in which both Satyaki and Pradyumna were killed. Krishna knew that the destined hour was come. The killing of Satyaki and Pradyumna led to every one of the Yadavas doing the same, and there was great indiscriminate slaughter. The Rishi's curse had begun to work. The rushes that had grown out of the mace became, each one of them, a mace as it was plucked by the doomed men in their insensate fury. They used them on one another with deadly effect, and soon all of them were destroyed in this drunken brawl. Balarama, who was seeing all this, was overwhelmed with shame and disgust and sank to the ground. He gave up his life as he lay in a yoga trance and passed away into the ocean in a stream of light which issued from his forehead like a silver serpent. Thus ended the avatar of Narayana in Balarama. Krishna saw all his people thus destroy themselves as predestined. When he saw the passing away of Balarama, he roamed about in deep meditation in the wilderness, pondering on the completion of his avatar. "The time has come for me to go," he said to himself, and lying on the ground, fell asleep. In that wooded beach, a hunter prowling for game saw Vasudeva lying on the ground among the shrubs, and from a distance mistook him for a wild animal resting on the ground. He bent his bow, shot an arrow at the prostrate figure, which, piercing his foot in the instep, went full through his body. Thus did the great Vasudeva depart from the world of men. Yatra Yogeshvara Krishno Yatra Partho Dhanurdhara Tatra Sri Vijayo Bhutir Truvani Tirmatir Mama. The Mahabharata, chapter 106. Yudhishthira's final trial. To Hastinapura came the sad tidings of the death of Vasudeva and the destruction of the Yadavas. When the Pandavas received the news, they lost all remaining attachment to life on earth. They crowned Parikshit, son of Abhimanyu, as emperor, and the five brothers left the city with Draupadi. They went out on a pilgrimage, visiting holy places, and finally reached the Himalayas. A dog joined them somewhere and kept them company all along. and the seven of them climbed the mountain on their last pilgrimage. As they toiled up the mountain, one by one, they fell exhausted and died. The youngest succumbed first. Draupadi, Sahadeva, Nakula were released from the burden of the flesh one after another. Then followed Arjuna and then great Bhima too. Yudhishthira saw these dear ones fall and die, yet serenely he went on, not giving way to grief, for the light of truth burned bright before him, and he knew what was shadow, what was substance. The dog still followed Yudhishthira. The lesson enforced by the poet in this episode of the dog is that dharma is the only constant companion in life's journey. It was dharma who, in the shape of the dog, followed Yudhishthira up the wearisome mountain path when his brothers and wife had gone, leaving him alone. Finally, when he reached a great height, Indra appeared in his chariot. "Your brothers and Draupadi have arrived before you. You have lagged behind, burdened with your body. Ascend my chariot and go with me in the flesh. I have come to take you." But when Yudhishthira went up to take his seat in Indra's chariot, the dog also climbed in. "No, no, there is no place for dogs in Swarga." And Indra pushed the dog away. "Then there is no room for me either," said Yudhishthira, and refused to enter the heavenly chariot, for if he had to leave his faithful companion behind, he did not want to reach Swarga. Dharma had come to test Yudhishthira's loyalty, and he was pleased with his son's conduct. The dog vanished from sight. Yudhishthira reached Swarga. There he saw Duryodhana, the Kuru prince, seated on a beautiful throne and shone like with the splendor of the sun. Around him stood in attendance the goddess of heroism and other angels. He did not see his brothers or anyone else. He was astonished. "Where are my brothers, ye denizens of Swarga?" asked Yudhishthira. This man of greed, of limited vision, is here. I do not care to spend my time in his company. We were driven by this man's envy and spite to kill friends and relatives. We stood tied by dharma to inaction when before our eyes innocent Panchali united to us in sacred wedlock was dragged to the hall of the assembly and insulted under the orders of this wicked man. I cannot bear the sight of this man. Now tell me, where are my brothers? I wish to go where they are." Saying this, Yudhishthira averted his eyes from where Duryodhana was seated in glory. Then Narada, the heavenly rishi of encyclopedic knowledge, smiled disapprovingly at Yudhishthira and said, "Renowned prince, this is not right. In Swarga, we harbor no ill will. Do not speak in this manner about Duryodhana. The brave Duryodhana has attained his present state by force of Kshatriya Dharma. It is not right to let the things of the flesh stay in the mind and breed ill will. Do follow the law and stay here with King Duryodhana. There is no place in Swarga for hatred. You have arrived here with your human body, so it is that you have these inappropriate feelings. Discard them, son. Yudhishthira replied, O sage, Duryodhana, who did not know right from wrong, who was a sinner, who caused suffering to good men, who fed enmity and anger, and who brought death to countless men, has attained this swarga of warriors. Where is that region of greater glory which must be the abode of my brave and good brothers and Draupadi? I am eager to see them, and Karna, and also all the friends and princes who gave up their lives in battle for me. I do not see them here. I desire to meet again Virata, Drupada, Drishtaketu, Sikhandin, the Panchala prince. I long to see the dear sons of Draupadi and Abhimanyu. I do not see them here. Where are they? Who threw their bodies into the blazing fire of battle for my sake, like ghee in the sacrifice? I do not see any of them here. Where are they all? My place must be among them. At the close of the battle, my mother Kunti wanted me to offer libations for Karna also. When I think of it, even now, grief overwhelms me. In ignorance of his being my own blood brother, I caused Karna to be slain. I am eager to see him. And Bhima, dearer to me than life, and Arjuna, who was like Indra himself, and the twins Nakula and Sahadeva, and our dear Panchali, steadfast in Dharma. I long to see and be with them all. I do not wish to be in heaven, for what good is it for me to be here away from my brothers? Wherever they may be, that to me is swarga, not this place. The angels who heard this replied, O Yudhishthira, if you in dire desire to be with your brothers, by all means you may go at once. There is no need to delay. And they ordered an attendant to take Yudhishthira. So the messenger proceeded in front and Yudhishthira followed him. As they went along, it soon became dark, and in the gathering gloom could be dimly seen things weird and revolting. He waded through slippery slime of blood and offal. The path was strewn with carrion and bones and dead men's hair and worms wriggling everywhere. There was an insufferable stench in the air. He saw mutilated human bodies everywhere. Yudhishthira was horrified and confused. A thousand thoughts tortured his mind as he proceeded. Oh, how far have we to go yet on this road? Where indeed are my brothers? Tell me, my friend. The messenger quietly replied, If you so desire, we can turn back. The foul odor of the place was so sickening that for a moment Yudhishthira was minded to go back, but just then, as if divining his intentions, vaguely familiar voices rose all around in loud lamentation. Oh, Dharmaputra, do not go back. Stay here for a few minutes. Your presence has given us momentary relief from torture. As you came, you have brought with you a whiff of air so sweet and pure that we have found a little relief in our agony. Oh, son of Kunti, the very sight of you gives us comfort and mitigates our suffering. Oh, stay. Be it for ever so short a time, do not go back. While you are here, we enjoy a respite in our torture. Thus the voices pleaded. Hearing the loud lamentations that this became from all around him, Yudhishthira stood in painful bewilderment, overwhelmed with pity at the poignant anguish in faintly remembered voices. He exclaimed, "Alas, wretched souls, who be ye that lament like this? Why are you here?"
"Lord, I am Karna," said a voice.
"I am Bhima,"
said another.
"I am Arjuna,"
cried a third voice.
"Draupadi,"
cried another voice in piteous tone.
"I am Nakula, I am Sahadeva, we are Draupadi's sons."
And so on came dolorous voices from all around, till the accumulated pain was more than Yudhishthira could bear. "What sin indeed have these been guilty of? Dhritarashtra's son Duryodhana, what good deeds did he do to sit like Mahendra in heaven, while these my brothers are in hell? Am I dreaming? Am I awake? Is my mind deranged? Have I gone crazy?" Overwhelmed by anger, Yudhishthira cursed the gods, denounced Dharma. He turned to the angel attendant and said sharply, "Go back to your masters. I shall stay here where my dear brothers, for no other sin than devotion to me, are consigned to the tortures of hell. Let me be with them." The messenger went back and conveyed to Indra what Yudhishthira had said. Thus passed the 13th part of a day in Swarga. Then Indra and Yama appeared before Yudhishthira, where he stood in anguish. When they came, the darkness rolled away and the horrid sights disappeared. The sinners and their sufferings were no more to be seen. A fragrant breeze blew as Yama, the god of Dharma, smiled on his son Yudhishthira.
"Wisest of men, this is the third time I have tested you. You chose to remain in hell for the sake of your brothers. It is inevitable that kings and rulers must go through hell, if only for a while. So it was that for the 13th part of a day you too were doomed to suffer the pangs of hell. Neither the illustrious Savyasachi nor your beloved brother Bhima is really in hell, nor Karna the just, nor anyone else who you thought had been consigned to suffering. It was an illusion designed to test you. This is not hell. This is Swarga. Do you not see there Narada, whose peregrinations cover the three worlds? Cease your grieving. Thus said Yama to Dharmapatra, who thereupon was transfigured. The mortal frame was gone, and he was a god. With the disappearance of the human body also disappeared all traces of anger and hatred. Then Yudhishthira saw there Karna and all his brothers and the sons of Dhritarashtra also, serene, free from anger, all having attained the state of the gods. In this reunion, Yudhishthira at last found peace and real happiness. Yatra Yogeshvara Krishna Yatra Partho Dhanurtara Tatra Sri Vijayo Bhutir Dhruvani Tirmatirmama Yatra Yogeshvara Krishna Yatra Partho तो धनुर्तरह तत्र श्री विजयो भूतिर ध्रुवानी तिर्मतिर्मम यत्र योगेश्वर कृष्णो यत्र पार्थो धनुर्तरह तत्र श्री विजयो भूतिर ध्रुवानी तिर्मतिर्मम।